Bless the Lord, saints.
Bless all the bonds within me.
Hallelujah.
Bless his holy name.
Bless his name.
I know y'all can say it again. My voice is coming back, my strength. Chapter 3, actually. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to pray and cover myself because I need the Holy Spirit. I need his guidance, his strength. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you humbly, Father God, your servant, willing and able to do your work. Father God, I come asking that you just remove all of me, Lord God, my flesh, any thoughts, Lord God, and that you be made strong in my weakness, Father God, this day, that everything that is heard, Father God, comes from you in the name of Jesus, that you prepare the hearts and the minds of the people to receive your word this morning, Father God, that it not fall on dead soil, Father God, that it really be made well and alive in the hearts of those who have received it, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for the power and the anointing, Father God, and it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all let me know if you've gotten there. Nehemiah 3. In the name of Jesus. When Brother Heron talked, he talked about rebuilding the wall.
Yes.
He talked about the importance of rebuilding the wall, and he kind of gave us a challenge. And the challenge was to read the word of God and read Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther if you wanted to see how to come against the enemy that was trying to come against you, if you wanted to see how to build that wall and all the things that God had in store for us to do, all the work. And so I began to take that challenge. Began to read Ezra, began to read Nehemiah. And for those of us that know how the Holy Spirit works, he knows that if the Lord has run this word to us once again,
yes,
that it's a word for this house.
Amen.
That it's a call of action that is required for us. And so we are going to talk about rebuilding the wall, but we're going to come from a different area.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the gates.
Yeah.
In chapter 2, verse 17, I told you all, we read about how the wall was destroyed and the gates had been destroyed by fire, meaning by judgment, meaning by trial and tribulation. These gates and these walls were destroyed. But God sent a man named Nehemiah to head that work and to go forward and lead the rebuilding of the wall. So now imagine, this has been a city and a group of people that's in exile. So all the enemies that have been around this city were happy because they didn't have that force of resistance here because they called the Israelites rebellious, right? So now they see these people coming back in droves and ready to start rebuilding something that they know protects them from themselves, from that enemy.
Yeah.
So when they see them coming to rebuild the wall, the first thing is that they're seeing strength. They're seeing that this is a group of people that's encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
They've come back to build the wall. Their first thought, their first line of business is to protect their city, themselves, from the enemy. So God has stirred up in the spirit of the leaders to rebuild this wall. God has stirred up in the spirit of your leaders to rebuild this wall.
Mm-hmm.
The wall, the church. The wall, your spirit man, your physical body, your household. The wall is to be rebuilt.
Thank you, Lord God.
We're going to talk about these gates that need to be repaired in your lives.
Amen.
Because gates are critical entryways and critical exiting ways.
Yes.
That, and they're points that the enemy goes and tries to dismantle the work of God in your life. He goes to try to dismantle your ability through those gates. And yes, the gates are destroyed in some of your lives.
Amen.
Some of these gates do need repairing. All of these gates may not need repairing in your life, but there are some of these gates that need repairing in your life or in your household. And so since you have not been paying attention to what God has been already stirring in your spirit, he has now brought the word of God to the house. I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit is telling me to say to you right now. I'm not trying to get down on anybody, but let me tell you what thus says the Lord.
Amen.
There is a clarion call for us to build the wall. There is a clarion call for you to build the wall in your household. There is a clarion call for you to build the wall in your lives. So we're going to talk about it. You all may have something similar to what I've drawn up here near you. And it's the city, it's the wall that's being rebuilt. And when we talk about this wall, I want you to look at it as your spiritual wall. I don't want you to look at it just as the wall that Nehemiah was building around Jerusalem. I want you to look at it as a metaphor for your spiritual walk. And we're going to talk about that as we go through it. Spiritual walk begins and is only capable through the shepherd's gate. Spiritual walk began when we came to know the Son, Jesus Christ. It only was afforded to us through the sacrifice, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We were ushered into this relationship by the blood of Jesus Christ, meaning that when we came to him, it wasn't of ourselves wanting to be good to come to him. When we came to him, it was Jesus that drew us himself.
That's
right. So the sheep gate is where we first encounter this spiritual walk. In the sheep gate, you're going to see death. When you come into your spiritual walk, there should be a death to self.
Amen.
What you want to do for yourself should be dying at that moment, because at that moment you see something more important than you. Your desires, your worldly ways. You see what God desires for your life, and you have come into agreement with what God desires for your life. You've agreed with the blood of Jesus. You have agreed that he has risen and that you have asked him to come into your heart. It all begins with the sheep gate.
Amen.
There is power in that sheep gate, because at the cross, everything was done.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go to the first verse, I'm going to show you how we look at this and we say, it's all these names, and what sense does it make? But every name that was listed by every gate was important, because there was a purpose and a reason for that particular person to work the gate.
Amen.
To repair it,
right,
and to build the wall.
Right.
We look in verse 1 and says, then, let me make sure I'm pronouncing this right, because I wrote down how to pronounce it. Elishaphib is a high priest, and he is repairing this wall and this gate at the sheep gate. And the priests along with him are repairing the wall. Why is it that the very first gate that needs repairing, the very first initial point, the leaders are building and repairing this gate?
Mm-hmm.
Because they are setting an example. They are saying that, first of all, we are not too high and mighty for the call of the Lord. And we are answering the call of the Lord, and we are starting it right here and now at this sheep gate. And we, alongside of you, are spearheading this whole movement of God.
Amen.
The word to you is that the leaders that are here, we have a responsibility to spearhead this wall that is being rebuilt in our lives. We have a responsibility to call attention to the things that God is calling for us to do in our lives. We have a responsibility to point out, hey, your life may not be looking like Jesus today, and what is it that we need to do to get you where you need to be? We have a responsibility to say, your household has not been kept. You've been looking in a different direction. We have a responsibility to help you build that wall. It's not that we're supposed to just sit behind this pulpit and not go out with you and evangelize and come to your homes and pray with you and suffer with you. We have a responsibility to spearhead this walk that you're trying to do with Jesus Christ. We're supposed to come alongside of you, and we're supposed to encourage you. We're supposed to come alongside of you, and we're supposed to teach you those things that you feel like you're lacking. It starts at the sheep gate.
Amen.
The sheep gate is where your walk begins. Then as you get excited, you know, the first couple of years, 1 to 2, 3 years, you're on fire for God.
Amen.
We're on fire for God. We want to tell everybody about God, right? So we come to the fish gate. The fish gate is the part of the market where they sell and buy fish, and it's very active, very fluent. But spiritually, what that is for us is evangelism.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
we want to share the gospel.
Yes.
We want to talk about all the great things that God has done for us. And the best part about this fish gate is that when we're traveling between the sheep gate and the fish gate, our walk is so fireful. We tell our testimony to so many people that, you know, it's been surveyed that those that have been saved between the first 2 years of making that call and sacrifice of their life, that they bring the most people to God.
Amen.
Why do they bring the most people to God? Because it's their testimony. They're not afraid to tell of all the great things that God has delivered them from. And they want you to be delivered. And they're on fire. They're not tired. They're not tired. They're no ways tired because they know that God has run them from some things. So they go to that fish gate happy.
Yeah.
Ready, exuberant, and excited about the work of the Lord. But see, so I want to point out a couple of people at this fish gate that the people of Tekoi, they were there, and the people were excited to help build this fish gate and this wall. But the leaders of Tekoi, they felt they were beneath. That was beneath them.
Yeah.
They did not want to help build that wall. So the people built that part of the wall in the fish gate, but the leaders of Tekoi did not. They said they were high priests, and that was not their duty. They did not feel the need to build a wall. But let me tell you what was great about the people. The people understood the importance of the call. See, in the Bible it says that these people were, their necks were bended. Their necks were bended to the will of the Lord. But the people were excited about the work.
Amen.
Because they had what was a personal relationship because of that sheep gate. They didn't have to follow leaders that wasn't following the will of the Lord.
All right.
What I'm saying to you today is that if you've already been at the sheep gate, but you have not come to the point of the fish gate where you're willing to tell your story and evangelize and you're waiting to see what the leader's going to do, you have a responsibility to go and do the work of the Lord.
Amen.
You don't have to look to see what we're doing. You have the responsibility. All of us are called to minister the word of God.
Amen.
Ministering in any form or fashion that he has given you and gifted you to do. If you have a job, you are called to minister on that job. If you have children, you are called to minister to your children. If you have family members, you are called to minister to your family.
Amen.
This gate should be working in your life.
Amen.
If God has ever done one thing for you, that gate should be working in your life.
Amen.
So as we continue to move on, we come to the old city gate. And before we get to that gate, you see where I've marked several green circles here. Now, as I looked at this, the first thing I thought about is a change in direction. These green circles signify shifting in your life. You see, when you come from the sheep gate and you're just on fire for God and you're just telling everybody about God, you start shifting in different areas of your life. Things start changing in your life, or it should be changing in your life. You start leaning to the course of that old gate where you start to put off that old man.
Amen. Amen.
You start to become familiar with the old teaching of the word. The Old Testament becomes real to you because you understand the significance of Jesus' death. Because as you read through Leviticus and all those different sacrifices that they had to do, and you realize that you will be at the altar all the time for every little thing, you start to appreciate the sheep gate a little more. So as you're on your way to the old gate, you're shifting.
Uh-huh.
And your physical man is getting a little uncomfortable.
Right.
Your people around you are a little uncomfortable.
Right.
Because see, they want you to be who you used to be.
Right.
But see, you're moving towards something greater.
Amen.
So when you start to shed some of that language that you used to say, when you start to shed some of those habits that you used to have, it's uncomfortable for you and for everybody that's around you. But see, you're on your way somewhere. It looks like you're getting ready to go down, but you're going down to be brought back up.
Right.
So you're shifting. People around you are shifting. At the old gate in this Bible, there was a whole bunch of people that were at the gate, that were building the gate and repairing the wall. And they were skilled builders. They had different professions. You know, they had different things that they did. But what the best thing about them was everybody said they weren't equipped to do it.
All right, all right.
Because they didn't have that skill to do it. People around you that knew you don't feel you're equipped to be a Christian. They don't feel you're equipped to build the wall of God in your life and in the lives of others and in the life of your home. They don't feel you're equipped. They're going to talk about you and mock you just as these men that were at the old gate. But let me tell you something about them. What made them so great for the old gate and for the wall was that they didn't care what anybody said about them. They knew that they wanted to be available for the work of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So while you're going through this walk, don't let the people that's around you deter you from the prize, which is coming into full circle and agreement with Jesus at the end of this life, at the end of this world. Don't let them tell you you're not qualified to walk this walk. Jesus qualified you at the cross. You don't need their approval. You already have his approval. So they didn't let that bother them. They started to put away that old man. They put away those jobs. They put away those people to go and do the work of the Lord. As they continued to prepare that old gate, there were some people that had houses along this gate. Jedediah had a house along this gate. And he said, while they're preparing the wall, I'm going to prepare the wall in front of my house. And some people saw him, and alongside him, they started to prepare the wall at their house. See, he understood that before I can go and do the work of the Lord at this wall, I got to start at home with my own wall. Right. See, my own wall is unaccompanied with the right protection that is needed for my household.
Right. Right.
See, my own wall has some holes in it that I got to fill up with the blood of Jesus. I got to work on this entry gate because if I let the enemy into my household, I can't go do the work of the Lord.
Right.
Because I'm going to have just confusion and destruction in my house. And the first thing that God has given you is your family.
Right.
He has given you your spouse. He has given you your children. He has given you your grandchildren. That's your first responsibility. So there were different names of people that were working on their house, and those names were significant. Remember me telling you that those names meant something? Those names were significant. I'm going to read them to you and tell you what the meaning of those names are. And it's going to talk to you about manning the wall at your house. Let me turn to it. Jediah, his name means he who calls unto God. Your house is supposed to be a home of prayer. If your house is not a home of prayer, then the gate needs repairing at your house.
Amen.
The house of prayer should be your house. There's a place that's called the International House of Prayer, and we call it IHOP, and you think of pancakes, but it's the International House of Prayer. That's how my house is. You know, y'all heard my children get up here and call me little Jesus, Jesus Jr., and all that stuff, because I sit at the feet of God, I pray. They see me when I wake up, I'm praying. When I go to bed, I'm praying. I'm asking them, are they praying? And we're praying together because I understand the power of prayer when it comes to my household and warding off the enemy from my house.
Amen.
Y'all have seen the attacks on my household. Y'all have seen how the enemy has attacked my husband, how he's attacked myself, how he's attacked my children, how he's attacked our finances. I don't have time to not pray in my house. So the first thing that you need to mandate at your house is a house of prayer.
Amen.
Then a son by the name of Benjamin, he also repaired his house. And his name meant son of my right hand, which means protector. And he understood that, see, his home and his family must be protected. So if you know that you're going out to do the work of the Lord and you're going to man this wall, then if you know if it's things that's neglected in your household, like your children that are going to school and being influenced by people that they should not be influenced by, or your marriage is not going as it needs to go because you have neglected that spouse, protector. You need to be the protector at your house. You need to call forth the angels. You need to call the right hand of God at your house. You need to protect your house.
Amen.
Don't leave it open to the enemy.
Amen.
The second gate is that protection. If your house is not protected, you done seen all kind of little imps around your house, get that prayer gate working and start protecting your house. Get your oil out and start anointing the door. I don't care what anybody says. I anoint my door. You come to my house, there's oil marks on my wall still there from 3 or 4 months ago because I anoint my house. It's not about that I believe in that it's the oil. I know that it's not the oil. I know that it's just a point of contact. I know that it's the relationship that I have with God. But it's putting that action behind my faith and belief. You tell that devil what he needs to go in your house.
Thank you, Lord.
Then it's Sadok. His name meant justice. Some of y'all don't have no justice in your house. You letting the kids run the house, telling you everything that what they should be able to do because everything in the world and what, you know, how you just extra and you just too strict and you just don't understand what I'm going through. Bring justice in your house.
Amen.
It don't matter what they doing out there, what their parents allowing them to do. You allow the word of God to be the law in your house.
Amen.
Bring justice in your house.
Amen.
Bring integrity in your house.
Amen.
Bring integrity in your marriage and your relationship.
Amen.
It should be that the fact that when people look at you in your home, they should see the same you that they see in here. If they don't see the same you that they see in here, then you need to repair that gate.
Amen.
Of justice.
Hallelujah.
Meshulam, his name means devoted. See, if you're doing all these things, you know, you're praying, you're protecting your household, you got justice in your house, but you're not devoted to your family. You're not devoted to what God is doing in your house. You're not devoted to the work of God. Then that gate needs to be repaired.
Amen.
Your family should be devoted to the vision that we have here at Crossroads Cornerstone of Abundant Life. Your family should be devoted to what God has purpose on your life and their life. You should have a devotion in your household. If that gate is not repaired in your household, get it right.
Amen.
We at the old gate. Some of y'all at the old gate. Some of us done been to the valley and we backtracking to the old gate because we done found out that we've been neglecting some things in the house. Get that home together.
Amen.
Amen.
Now as you're moving forward from the old gate, it's a long road because we got to purge a lot of little things in our house to get us right and ready for the truth of the Lord. But we see a shifting there again. But see, that shifting ain't a good shifting. That shifting there, I mean, it's good in the long haul, but that shifting is a very uncomfortable shifting because you begin to go to the valley again.
Amen.
See, all while you were in, let me just tell you what these first three gates were. The old gate, the fish gate, and the sheep gate are considered priority gates.
Wow. All right, teach it.
That should be your first priority. Getting your relationship right with God. Telling others about what God is doing in your life. Testifying. Letting go of that old man. That's priority gates. When we begin to go down to the valley gates and the dung gate, these are purifying gates. That valley gate is different than the first three gates. See, the first three gates, you were in a honeymoon experience with God. He was talking to you all the time. You were seeing immediately answered prayers. The blessings of God was just on your life and you was just on fire because God is so good. All these great things happened to me. God is so good.
Amen.
Then you get down to this valley gate and God said, okay, what did you learn? Now I'm going to allow experiences, trials, tribulations, and all the fire that you can handle to come against you to purify you and purge some of these things that are deep in the heart that you don't know that's even down there. It's not surface things. I'm coming to purify you from things that are in the crevices, that are deep down, that you got to go deeper in Him to bring them out to the surface and remove them with the fire of God.
Yeah.
See, I'm talking about things of resentment. I'm talking about unforgiveness. I'm talking about bitterness. I'm talking about things that when you're coveting and you're jealous of one another. I'm talking about when you just don't really like the word of God and you really don't like the people in the church, but you're just acting and putting on face and you got the mask on. I'm talking about them types of things. I'm talking about where you just don't want to do what God asked you to do. You're rebellious against what He said is His will for your life. I'm talking about those deep things. You know, where you just lying to yourself about who you are. You know, that you just don't have any self-esteem, no self-worth about yourself. You don't think nice things about yourself. You don't think clearly about yourself. yourself. This is deep things that God has to rid you of. Because if you don't think right towards yourself, then how can he use you to free and deliver other people?
Right.
See, you got to go through the valley to get to where you're going in him.
Yes, you do. Amen.
Sometimes you have to go through sicknesses in your body. I went through several valley experiences in my body. Betrayals and just hurts and sicknesses and all these different things that come against me. But I wouldn't change it for the world, because had I not gone through those things, I would not be standing here able to tell you about the power of God.
Amen.
See, you got to go through priority gates and purifying gates before you can get to the power gates.
Yeah.
See, it's serious business. God don't bless mess.
Yeah.
Amen.
He gives you grace for mess, but he calls you to a standard. He places a table in front of your enemy.
Yes.
And he tells you to eat.
Yes.
If you decide not to eat, then you got issues with God.
Yes.
It's a valley experience. See, he's humbling you to understand that I cannot do this walk without him. I don't care how much people tell you you are powerful. I don't care how much they tell you you are anointed. I don't care how good they tell you you are. You are nothing compared to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The best man is but rags.
Amen.
The best man is but rags.
Amen.
You have not arrived, not one place in your walk that you think you have arrived. The Bible says don't think too highly of yourself.
That's
right.
Amen. Put it all in perspective. Yes, God said you are good and he loves you. But when you start to exalt yourself before him and his will for your life, check yourself.
All right.
Believe me, you don't understand half of what you think you understand about what God wants to do with your life.
Amen.
The great thing and glory about the people that were at the old gate is that they had no idea what God wanted to do with them in their life.
Amen.
They were completely oblivious to all the plans of greatness that God had for them. So they didn't have room for pride and error. All this has got to be purged down here. So as you see, we're shifting and we're shifting and we're shifting. And see, this valley gate experience is long.
Yes, sir.
That wall is long. You're there for a long time, because you'll be telling God, I got it, I got it, I got it. God knows your heart. He knows you don't got it, you don't got it, you don't got it. You really don't get it until it ain't even your will anymore. When you sitting there just like, Lord, whatever, whatever, Lord, that's when you got it.
Amen.
When you still trying to figure it out,
Yes. You
still shifting because you ain't got it.
Amen.
I know, because I was on my bed for 18 months at a time, not able to climb upstairs. I know. Lord, I got it. He said, no, you don't. You don't got it. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't got nothing.
Mm.
But see, once you get through purifying and all this stuff is on surface, now you got to go to the dung gate, because you got to get rid of all that rubbish.
Right.
See, the dung gate is where they came and they would bring all the dung of the sheep and everything, and they would put it outside the gate and go back into the city. Now, what God has shown me about the church is that this is it's supposed to be a dramatic turning corner. I mean, you're supposed to be ready to get rid of all that rubbish and that dung. But the problem with us in the body right now is that we don't want to get rid of dung. We say we get rid of it, then we take the dung and bring it back in the church. So we say we don't have no eye against my brother, but then we get back in church. Well, you know he did this right. And you know the very thing that reminds you of what he used to do come back in your head, and you get to run in your mouth about it.
Jesus.
You ain't let that dung out. All that rubbish and waste, you bring it back into the sanctity of the church. You bring it back into the sanctity of your vessel, your Holy Spirit, your body that God has already purified in the valley gate.
Amen.
And then you wonder why you're experiencing the same cycles that you're experiencing in this walk. Because you got to let that stuff go. It's supposed to bring forth redemption for you. It's supposed to bring you to a different place. The dung gate is your delivering hour. I'm letting all this stuff go. All this stuff go. It don't mean anything. Those of us that came close to death, we don't care about none of that stuff when we get there. Because you start to refocus. But after the dung gate, you know how short that walk is? It seems so short right there. You have another shifting point. And where are you shifting? Up. We're going up now.
Amen.
And the first gate we come into is the fountain gate, the replenishing gate, the gate of the living water, the Holy Spirit. And see, right here, these gates, they're the power gates.
All right.
See, we're coming into the Holy Spirit in a whole nother way. See, well, the sheep gate, we get the Holy Spirit indwelling us when we accept Christ.
Amen.
But the filling of the Holy Spirit is a whole nother ball game, y'all. When you get power, you can tell when you have the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life. See, you begin to decree a thing and God begins to work in your life. Because why? Because you believe it now. He's purged you. He's put out the old man. He's shown you who he is. You begin to know him. And you begin to operate and live and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, here, it's just a short run. You shifting up.
How about that?
Now, once the Holy Spirit begins to work into your life, you can't have the Holy Spirit replenish you without the water gate, the Word of God. Jesus said that the living waters was the Holy Spirit. But the water gate is referred to as the Word of God because in Ephesians 5 and 6, it talks about that. And it said that they were holy and made holy and purified through the Word of God. I don't know a time where I've ever been replenished where it was not by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people don't do it for you. You know when you just really broken?
Right.
And you can call somebody and ask them to pray. And you can call them and ask them to speak life into your spirit. But really when you get a right word, the Bible says that a word given in settings of silver, a word given in right season is like gold in settings of silver. It's like when you get a right word,
Amen.
It does something. Because see, the Bible says that my word will not return void, right? It will accomplish that in which I please and purpose. So when it comes in, things just start shifting in your spirit, man. Your soul and emotions just start changing because the word has gone forth and done what it is purpose and accomplished to do in your life. See, the water gate and the fountain gate gives you power. So if you're on this walk, in your spiritual walk, and you haven't experienced the power, then ask yourself, have you really allowed yourself to go through what God has been placing in your life with the valley and the dung gate? What do you need to purge and give? Ask God to search your heart. To search your heart and allow you to get to that place of power. But then after we go through the water gate, there's a shifting. And you're not necessarily going straight up, but you're still going up, but you're going right now. See, we're going in the right direction.
All right.
See what I'm saying? See, you're going somewhere now. You got power. You've been purified. You have your priorities in check. See, now you're on your way to something, and you're still going up. But then you encounter a gate that you didn't expect to encounter. See, the horse gate is spiritual warfare.
All right.
You thought you was in spiritual warfare when you was in the valley. You weren't just in spiritual warfare in the valley. The valley was purpose for you.
Amen.
Spiritual warfare at this horse gate is because now you have decided that you're going to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God.
Right.
And once you have made that decision, the enemy does not like it.
Right.
And see, the enemy had all these horses back in the day to help them to tear down these walls and come against other cities. The enemy has horse people at the horse gate, spiritual warfare, people speaking against you, different spirits that's trying to jump on you and be transferred and all these different things because you have opened the door to some of them. And some of them you just was innocent bystander. But some of them you have opened the door to them. You're not thinking that I've overcome this thing so I can lust of the eyes and open my eye gate and see something that I don't got no business seeing. Or I listen with my ear gate to stuff I don't got no business listening to. Or I might have smelled something through my nose gate, drinking these drinks and all this weed and everything else that I shouldn't have smelled through my nose gate. And then I send some things out of my mouth that allowed the enemy to come into my mouth gate. Come on.
All right.
Y'all with me?
That's
the horse gate.
Yes.
And see, the enemy is not playing with you because he knows his time is limited. He knows that he's defeated, but he knows his time is limited. God has only gave him a certain amount of time to reign on this earth,
right,
to wreak havoc on this earth. The more you play with him and allow him that opportunity to wreak havoc in you, your family, and all the places around you that God has stationed and assigned you to be his mouthpiece for, the more you're going to experience that horse gate. Horse gate is inevitable. We're going to come into spiritual warfare. It don't matter if you're not praying for anybody. You know, some of us think that we just being a good Christian, you know, just minding our business and we ain't trying to come against the enemy or pray or intercede. No, it don't matter if you wear the cross, the enemy is coming after you. Because see, you're no longer working for him anymore. And he knows when you're not working for him because he can tell in how you live your life. He can tell with what he's not able to taint you with anymore,
right,
tempt you with, and move you with anymore. See, you can fool yourself. But see, God and the enemy knows really whose side you're on.
Amen.
You come into the east gate after you leave the horse gate. Now, these gates are the prophetic gates. And not the prophetic gates in the sense of what you think right now, you know, in terms of you begin to prophesy and all this stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. The prophetic gates are the gates that have been prophesied about in the Bible. These are the gates that come at the end of earth.
Amen.
The east gate is the Messiah's return.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all praying that we go through all of this to get to the east gate. And when we get to the east gate, we go through judgment, the inspection gate, where God looks at our life. If we're saved, we're saved. If we really meant it, we're saved. But we begin to be judged for our works. Because there are rewards in heaven, right?
Amen.
He said he will reward us for those things that we have done according to our work here on earth.
Amen.
What we have done with his son, that's what we're rewarded for. Others that have not accepted him will be judged for their souls. And then it all leads back. We shift again to Jesus.
Amen.
And now we're in eternity with him.
Amen.
This is our whole spiritual walk, church.
Amen.
There were some things that we need to notice and some key things along this wall. Different people were at every wall, but everybody was on one accord.
Amen.
Everybody was on one accord. They had different businesses. They had different parts of the valley where they were at different parts of the wall. Some were at the old gate, some were at the fish gate, some at the valley gate. But they all were on one accord. They were a team. If one was not available, the other one were available. They were a team.
Amen.
We're not united, church.
Uh-huh.
We need to be united with the vision and the mission that God has given this church, that God has given us individually. See, they all united with Nehemiah.
Amen.
To be able to do this work.
Amen.
We have a work, we have to be united. Everybody that was in this work had a right relationship with God.
Amen.
There were a couple men that were noticed at this old gate that Meshullam, he was actually, and Ezra, he had got rebuked by Ezra because he married a pagan wife. And so he told, Ezra told him about himself. But you later see him years later at this old gate repairing the wall. He got it right.
Amen.
He got it right with God. He was repairing the wall.
Amen.
He went through that rebuke, but he surrendered his will and he made himself available. We have to surrender our will and make ourselves available to the work. We have to have a right mindset, right motives, right heart. Whatever's not pure or not right, you leave it at that dung gate.
Right.
We have to discern the times.
Yes, yes.
See, the leaders knew, Minister Jackie taught about this at Bible study on Wednesday. It was such a good teaching when she talked about the enemy initially tried to be friends with the leaders and come and ask them if they could help. But see, the leaders were discerning. They said, no, y'all, this ain't y'all work to do.
Amen.
We appreciate, but this ain't your work to do. We got this. We know what we have purpose to do.
Amen.
See, if you're not discerning, the enemy will try and act like they're coming to help you build that old gate back up. And they'll tear it down as you're trying to build up. The minute you put a brick there, he tear it back down with some different right and some different strife in your life.
Amen.
Discern your enemy.
Amen.
And then ask God to deal with your enemy. Brother Charles told us about prayers in Nehemiah. It was a prayer about being mocked. He said, Lord, those that mock us, place everything that they mock us back on their heads.
Jesus.
Learn how to discern your enemy and pray against him while you build this wall.
Amen.
It's not easy. These people thought that they couldn't build the wall. They thought after a while that they didn't have what it took. They were tired when it came to building this wall.
Jesus.
But God continued to replenish them at each gate with testimonies, with story, with people. When the enemy was trying to come against them, half of them worked the wall with weapons, as Brother Charles talked. The other half was on guard and watch.
That's right.
With weapons. Amen. Some of us have been assigned to intercessory gifts. Be on that wall. Amen. Whoever God has assigned you to, you pray for them. You pray for everything that God places in your spirit, because this wall is serious.
Amen.
And it's people that are coming against us that we don't even know.
Amen.
And if he has given you that gift to discern, and to intercede, do it.
Thank you, Lord.
God has a call for us. He has a clear call to build this wall.
Thank you, Lord.
We already have heard that when Val came, she said that the Lord said, we have wore the man of God out. Yeah. We need to be like these people and get in line with Nehemiah's plan. Mm-hmm. We need to get in line with Pastor's vision and mission for this church. We need to get in line with the will of God for our lives.
Amen.
So this is the word of God. I didn't come to preach. This is a word you have to teach.
That's right.
And so I just came to teach and ask yourself to really examine where you are on this wall. Where there are holes at in your wall, in your family's wall. And ask God to repair the gates. Ask him to repair the sheep gate if your sheep gate ain't right. Ask him to repair the fish gate if the fish gate is left open in your house, in your life. Because this is serious. And the enemy is trying to infiltrate every gate that you will leave open for him. He ain't stupid. He gonna take it all if you keep giving it to him. So I pray that this really gets in our hearts and that we begin to operate and take action in this in 2014, because God has so much for us and he desires to do so much in our lives. And if we could just get on board, we will see the temple. We will see the temple. We will see the city of Jerusalem, the new city of Jerusalem. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen.